Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Nelcast Limited Q4 FY22 conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gemawat from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome you all on the Q4 earnings call for Nelcast Limited. We have with us from the management of Nelcast, Mr. Deepak, who's the company MD and CEO, and Mr. Sivakumar, who's the CFO of the company. First of all, congratulations to the management on a great set of numbers. With that, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Harsh. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your time and for joining us for this earnings call. Just a few comments I'd like to make from my side before I open it up to any questions that there might be. I'm happy to report that, you know, the quarter gone by is the highest ever turnover that we have achieved, and subsequently also for the year that's gone by, that's the highest ever turnover that we've achieved. We achieved for the year a turnover of 927 crores. That's the revenue from operations. And for the quarter, what we had achieved was 267.9 crores. This represents for the full year a growth of about 50% over the last financial year, which is quite a substantial amount of growth. This growth was driven by a couple of things. One was the increased sales realization as well as the increased tonnage for the year. The tonnage for the year, what we had achieved this year was 71,905 tons was the sales tonnage against 58,550 tons in the previous year. The rest of the growth came due to improved sales realization from two angles. One is an improved product mix with greater growth in exports, and the second part of it is the pass-through of raw material price increases that had happened through the year. As a result of that, you know, as I mentioned, the exports, what we have achieved, the highest ever in the company's history, 221.5 crores. This is substantially higher than the previous year, where we were at about 126 crores for the previous year. There's almost a 95 crore increase in export revenue that has happened in this past financial year. Looking at the margins, in terms of the EBITDA margins for the quarter were at about 10.5 rupees per kg in terms of EBITDA margins, and for the full year was at 9 rupee per kg. 9.15 rupees to be more precise. This is again an improvement in terms of the operating performance in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, I think there's been a couple of things I've been talking about in the last couple of quarters that have impacted margins, which is the continuous increase in raw material prices and the lag at passing it on. It looked like the fourth quarter for the first half of the fourth quarter all the way up till the end of February, we in fact saw stable raw material prices with a slight softening trend happening. Unfortunately, once the war in Ukraine had started, we saw a substantial increase in raw material prices. Perhaps we could have had, you know, better result if not for that unfortunate incident that has happened. You know, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the revenue mix from the different segments. In FY22, the largest segment that contributed to our revenue was the medium and heavy commercial vehicles at 36.7%, which in comparison to the previous year was only 31.5%. There's an increase in the mix, and this is related to a couple of things. One, the recovery that's happened in the M&HCV segment, especially towards the end of the year. Second, the slowdown in the tractor segment. The tractor segment this year was at 32.2% of revenues in comparison to 40.1% last year. Of course, exports also has grown from about 20.7% to 24%. Overall, I think we continue to see, you know, strong demand as we look forward. Q4 specifically, we saw good amount of strength in the commercial vehicle segment. So we saw a pretty good recovery, especially in the months of February and March. We saw pretty good numbers for the commercial vehicle segment. However, tractor segment demand was quite weak, driven primarily by excess inventory that was being held at various tractor manufacturers. Looking forward a little bit into Q1, we are seeing that medium and heavy commercial vehicle demand remaining strong. Typically, from a seasonality perspective, we normally would see a 20 to 30% dip in commercial vehicles in Q1 compared to the preceding Q4. Fortunately, I can say that we have not seen that happen this year, and they seem to be flat and potentially even on an increasing trend. So that's a very positive sign, and the numbers that we are hearing from our customers in the commercial vehicle space in terms of what they are forecasting for their production numbers for the next few months seems to be extremely encouraging. And we believe that, you know, somewhere around 20% or so is the M&HCV industry growth that we will expect to see happening this year. On the tractor segment, we've seen a huge bounce back of demand starting in April. So there is a lot of good numbers that are being projected by all the tractor manufacturers. I think April sales, everybody was bullish about a 40% increase in the overall market. But I think that they're seeing real demand as well. Some of it is driven, I think, by global factors as well, increase in global wheat prices and a variety of other things. But it does look like tractors, at least for the next 5-6 months, we're seeing very strong projections in terms of production volumes that all the tractor companies are planning at their factories. Exports, we believe we will have another strong year. We will see a year of pretty good growth again. This is going to be driven by a couple of things. One, there are significant order backlogs that the OEMs in the U.S. have, whether you talk about the Class 8 trucks or even the light vehicle trucks. And clearing this backlog, the bottleneck has been chips. There seems to be an improvement in terms of the quantity of chips available now. I think the worst of what we saw was perhaps October of last year, and things have been gradually improving since then. So as that improvement happens, the production is going to keep getting ramped up at all of our customers, and we believe that's one of the things that's going to drive growth this year on our existing products. In addition to that, we've got several new products that we'll be launching over the next 6 to 9 months, and that we believe will help us, you know, drive growth to a much higher level. So I think we're quite excited about what this current financial year holds, and we are, you know, happy that we were able to end the previous financial year with a pretty good growth of 50%, as I said, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll be able to deliver strong growth in the current year as well. And I think that's all I have in terms of my comments. I'll be happy to take on any questions that there might be.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Archan Patak from Centra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, sir. Just one question regarding your raw materials. So as you might be aware, the export duty was levied on the steel price, I mean, on the steel, and that may lead to, you know, reduction in the steel price. So just wanted to get an idea, as your main raw material is scrap steel, which you acquire from the domestic producer. So are you going to benefit out of the lower steel prices if it happens in that way?
Yeah, I mean, this is all new information, right? All information came in over the weekend in terms of the new export tariffs as well as the removal of certain import tariffs on raw materials that happened over the weekend. So it's still relatively new news. I can tell you what I think would logically happen. I do believe that there will be a reduction in steel price that is happening. That's I think it's still early days to figure out what the quantum of that reduction is going to be. Since we do have a pass-through mechanism for raw material prices with a lag, I mean, whatever lag to some degree that's been hurting us a little bit over the with the continuous increases that's been happening, as this reduction happens, I think there will be a marginal short-term benefit similar to the kind of negative impact that's been there. So we are, it will help us, I think, in the short term, but in the long term, I think a lot of this will get passed through to the customer as well. And, you know, it, we are, what we would ideally like to see in the long term is just stability in terms of raw material prices. I think that's the most important factor that we would like to see. But certainly a reduction in steel prices will impact a reduction in steel scrap prices, which will give us some short-term benefits. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And there's another question. How is the Pedaparia ramp-up going on? Is it done now? What are the tonnage we are able to get out of there?
So the ramp up is still going on. We've got a lot of new products that we have developed, and you know, some that are still under the final testing. So if we look at the, you know, how we did on a full year basis, I think we were at about you know, about 16-17% was our utilization for the full year. Whereas if we come towards, you know, where we were at the end of the year, right, the fourth quarter, I think that number was closer to about 25% or so. So we believe that we should be able to get that plant by the fourth quarter of this year somewhere between 50-60% or so utilization. And I think that will make a big difference in terms of our absorption of fixed costs and the bottom line.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, coming to the point where you just spoke about Pedaparia capacity moving up to 55-60% by the Q4 end of this year. So what is the nameplate capacity currently, sir, and how much is the workable number in terms of utilization?
So the nameplate capacity that's there at Pedaparia right now is 60,000 tons, 60 per annum.
Okay.
So about 5,000 tons per month is the nameplate capacity. So realistically, what we believe we should be able to achieve is, you know, something to the tune of about 4,000 or so, right? About 75-80% is roughly, you know, what we believe is a realistic achievable capacity.
Okay. And by the end of the fourth quarter, we will be achieving somewhere closer to 2,000 per ton on a monthly basis. Something
yeah,
in the
I believe, so, yeah, certainly I think that's what we believe we will be able to achieve.
Okay. Sir, as you, hello?
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. As you were telling about the raw material price impact, sir, scrap prices have been trending lower, correct me there, in the last few months, I think so. Scrap prices, the availability and the price trends are trending lower, sir. Is the understanding correct?
No, so actually there was, it was starting to trend lower, I would say late January, early February, we started to see them trend lower. Unfortunately, after the war happened, there was a huge spike, there was a sudden increase, fairly substantial increase in scrap prices that had happened at the end of February, beginning of March. And then we started to see it kind of stabilize or maybe even marginally soften in the last, you know, week or 10 days. And now, of course, with this announcement, hopefully, that happened over the weekend. I think price discovery will happen fairly soon. We expect to see, you know, a good amount of reduction that will happen now going forward.
Sir, when we look at the volume numbers, sir, I think as mentioned in the press release, it was 19,389 tons for
Q4. Correct.
And it was slightly lower than what we did for Q4 FY21.
Correct.
So, sir, what explains, sir, your press release commenting on the performance speaks, a turnaround year for us as have been articulated by you in the opening remarks. So, if you could give us more color, sir, what kind of tonnages are we expecting? And, sir, as earlier also, you have alluded to the fact that 12 rupees per kg is what we are looking forward. So by the end of this financial year, is the EBITDA per kg of rupees 12 achievable, sir?
So as you pointed out, and we did disclose this in the press release. that the tonnage was for the quarter four was more or less flat from a tonnage perspective. Of course, there was an increase in export which helped drive the revenue up a little bit, and of course, pass-through of raw material prices and overall model mix also helped increase the revenue, right? So it was a 20% growth in revenue, even though it was, almost a marginal or flat kind of a volume number. Now, the reason for that, if you look at Q4, I think I alluded to that in my comments, is that Q4 was hit primarily by poor demand from tractor industry. What had happened last year was there was a huge expectation of a fantastic year, because we're talking about, you know, three consecutive good monsoons. We're talking about, you know, overall things looking good in the rural industry, in the rural sector. All of that was, you know, what we were talking about 12 months ago, right? So there was a huge anticipation of sales that had happened. And as a result of this forecast that they had of being able to have, you know, possibly their best year ever again, you know, that drove the tractor manufacturers, all of them, to increase their, production of tractors, prior to the peak season, so that they would have adequate inventory to sell during the peak season. Unfortunately, the peak season sales were extremely poor. So they overall ended up with a whole bunch of, inventory, and they didn't want to build additional inventory. So they all reduced their production numbers quite substantially. So if you look at, you know, where we were in the peak of last year in terms of tractor production at all the OEMs versus, you know, what, you know, fourth quarter looked like. Fourth quarter production numbers, I'm talking about production of tractors, right? Fourth quarter production numbers, I believe, were something to the tune of about 40% of what it was at the peak, right? Typically, we would expect it to be around 60%. It was, unfortunately, because of the factors that I mentioned, it was down to 40%. So in spite of that big, which was the exact opposite of the year ago. The year ago, tractor industry production was still quite strong because everybody were coming off a great year. Everybody felt that if they had more inventory, they would have sold more in the previous year because of supply chain constraints. Everybody felt that they had lost market share. So a year ago, the tractor industry was going quite strong. This year, the tractor industry, at least in Q4, decided that they wanted to reduce their volumes because of certain uncertainty. Of course, we're seeing that change quite drastically in the tractor industry. We're seeing, huge amount of demand coming in from the tractor industry that we've seen over the last month and a half. There's a lot of demand coming from all of the OEMs. Again, I guess forecasting a pretty good year this year. So we believe, from a growth perspective, we believe tractor industry perhaps might grow something to the tune of 10% or so, or 8% or something along that line. Certainly, we believe it would be high double digits, if not high single digits, if not maybe, you know, marginal double digit kind of thing. That's what we believe is the numbers that we are hearing. On the commercial vehicles front, we're hearing numbers typically ranging from anywhere from about 17 to 25%. And they believe there is still upside beyond that that is possible. So let's see what happens. But we think maybe, 20 to 25% is what we believe will happen. And based on the demand that we're seeing right now, it certainly seems like it's on the cards. I believe we will beat that 20. And I think exports also, we expect to see strong growth. So I think, reasonably speaking, perhaps, from a top line perspective, we'd expect to see growth that beats the market, right? So if we believe that the market growth that we expect to see would be, 10, 20, and perhaps even in exports, maybe, 30 or higher, we would expect that we would beat that. And we'd look at a number that's certainly higher than 20% and hopefully, much higher than that.
Okay. So a top line in the vicinity of higher than 20% for the year as a whole?
Yes, certainly, yes.
Okay, so sir, just on the tonnage front, we did 71,905 for FY22. So yeah. Depending upon the schedules of the OEM part, what kind of ballpark number or the trajectory we should end the year with utilization levels at the new facility also ramping up?
Like I said, I think that 20% number is what we would expect, better than 20% for sure. I think that's what we feel quite confident. Based on, today's scenario, right? Obviously, there is volatility in the market and factors beyond our control. But based on our visibility today, I think that we feel that you know, higher than 20% growth is something that that we should be able to target and achieve.
And that is what we are seeing in the Q1 only, sir. You have mentioned in your release also that we are seeing very strong demand in Q1 FY23, which constitutes more than 90% of our sales in all the segments as been articulated earlier. So this is what it is already happening currently. So that is giving you the confidence that there is a very likelihood of continuity going forward.
Yeah. So typically, I think if you look at our history in the M&HCV segment, right, what our, you know, 37 years or so in the industry tells us is, you know, M&HCV, if it is strong in Q1, it is strong throughout the year in terms of their production numbers. The only exception that I have seen to this rule is when in 2018, when the axle load norms got changed. So there was an external factor that came in and hit us. But otherwise, in any other year, whenever we've seen a strong Q1 for M&HCV, we've seen a very strong year for the entire segment. So I think that's a positive sign. Tractor demand also seems to be extremely strong. I think the production numbers that we are hearing from the OEMs are to the tune that they are targeting are to the tune of about 10% higher than they were last year in the first half, where the first half, actually, their production numbers were extremely strong. So we are fairly positive even on that segment.
Right, sir. And your outlook on the EBITDA per kg, sir, any thought process you want to give? When by the end of this year, can we move in our long-term target, or
I think that's I think what we had talked about of you know, being able to achieve 12, we believe that's still possible. Obviously, there are external factors beyond our control, but certainly we believe that that is possible, and that's what we will be targeting to achieve you know, by the end of the year.
Sir, on the cost front, if you'd like to share something of as we are seeing as a percentage of raw material to sales, it is at around 52.5%. Correct me there, sir, for this quarter. And averaging, I think, so was 48-49% earlier. So where will this mix going to get settled? And also on the other expenses part and on the finance cost part, because we find both these line items significantly higher, although there is an increase in volume, so there will be a variable part. And taking into this account, sir, when will this, then the operating leverage going to kick in for the company? Mane, Q4 onwards, we will see we can expect that this operating leverage from since the new capacity would be ramped up, would be having utilization levels of 50%, the operating leverage will start kicking in then only. These were the three observations.
So I think I'll answer the last question first. The operating leverage, I think we expect that this will be a good year, right? So I think as it's not that, you know, we will go from, you know, 25% to 50%. Just in the fourth quarter. So as we gradually go up, we will start to see, you know, operating leverage also benefit us in terms of, you know, improvements that we expect to see in margins. Regarding the percentage of raw materials to sales, it's a very difficult question to answer because I don't think any of us a year ago saw steel prices going to this level. And I don't know what, and, you know, this kind of volatility and, you know, continuous increases are things that I don't think we'd ever seen. So trying to look forward and say what it might be in a year from now is a difficult question. That being said, we would like it to be stable, right? Stability is the best thing for us. We hope that there is some reduction in steel prices. We believe it will happen now with these announcements that have come in from the finance ministry over the weekend. And that will give us some short-term benefit, you know, with whatever lag that we had experienced with pass-through of increases. You know, we had suffered something from it because of the lag. So hopefully now with that lag, we will enjoy something from it, at least for a short term. But very difficult for us to put that into any kind of numbers or direction, because honestly, I don't think any of us fully really understands how the steel market is going to go, and the scrap market is closely correlated to the steel market. You know, whatever happens in the steel industry. I think the other question what you had was regarding
other expenses and the finance cost part, sir. Okay. These two are also trending much higher. On the finance cost part, sir, I have a couple of bookkeeping and then I've come in the queue to ask my rest question.
Okay.
But for the finance, yes, please answer.
So finance cost, one of the things was, I think if you look at the previous financial year, you know, half the financial year, around, I think, the September 20th or 30th, somewhere between there is when we commissioned, you know, the additional capacity at our Pedaparia plant. So some of the finance costs that were classified as pre-operative expenses in the first half of last year would have gotten classified under pre-operative expenses. So there is, so when you see the difference in finance costs, part of the reason is for that on a full year basis. In terms of other expenses, there are a couple of things. One, of course, I think it is in terms of other expenses. It's in line with increase in volume. Second, you know, there might be certain other components where we have added machining operations which might be outsourced, things like that. So those also get added, you know, both in terms of top line, in terms of realization, as well as in terms of expenses. So that's the only difference that there is nothing abnormal in the expenses.
Sir, on the cost rationalization, you would like
Kapoor,
to... I'll come in the queue, sir. Just last, on the cost rationalization part, what steps are you taking to reduce your cost of production, in, whether in terms of power and fuel or other costs? And I'll come in the queue with my follow-up, but please allow me, give an opportunity again. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Akhil. So in terms of, there's a couple of things. One, I think, as you mentioned, with operating leverage, we will see prices, we'll see costs come down. Other than that, you know, there's a variety of things that we always pursue for cost reduction. We have a, you know, variety of projects that we are doing, including in terms of power consumption and optimization of power consumption, as well as the cost of the power. And, you know, variety of things. So these are all things that we are continuously pursuing, including, you know, more adding, you know, more captive power and other such means. So there's, you know, it's difficult for me to summarize everything. That it might take me 3 hours just to talk about that subject. I will try to keep it as short as possible.
Thank you, sir. I'll come in the queue for my follow-ups. Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations for the good set of numbers. So just to follow up with the earlier participant, just wanted to know, so what was the fettling expense for the full year?
One second. The manufacturing and fettling expense for the full year, Shiva, do you have that number?
Yeah, exactly.
Just give us 1 second. We'll just get you the number.
And so I also have a question on the power and fuel side. As you said, okay, you are also, you know, targeting the captive power. So what is the current status right now for that?
Okay. So fettling and other manufacturing expenses for the financial year.
137 crores.
Okay. And so on the power side, so what we are doing, you know, as you talked about captive power.
Yes. So I think there's a couple of things. One, if you look at where we are today, I would say about 55 to 60% of the power that we are consuming. Obviously, it varies from a month-to-month basis in terms of consumption and generation. But 55% or so of the power that we're consuming is coming from captive sources, primarily wind, a little bit of solar, right? So this is our current utilization. We're looking at how we can increase this. We're evaluating, you know, various proposals to go through in a group captive mechanism or a captive mechanism.
So anything which you know, we can do in FY23?
We are working on it. We've signed an MOU, but we have not yet you know, signed the final agreement. I think that should hopefully get done within the next, you know, within this quarter, I would say that would get done. So we are, at that point, we'll be in a position to talk about it a little bit more. But we are working on it. We are working on increasing our captive power, which is, I think, a twofold benefit. One is, of course, in terms of cost, but second is, of course, in terms of the environment, right? So we'd like to have more and more of our power coming from renewable sources.
Okay. And so what is the status of the new product launches that we were planning to launch in FY23?
Out of the critical products that we're looking to launch, some of the products that are going into the US market on the light vehicle, all approvals are done, they're in place. Some of the smaller equipment that are required as balancing capacity to meet these are all being put in place. We believe that start of production is going to start perhaps in the month of August and September. That's when we'll really start our production here and start ramping up. And from a production standpoint, we should be fully ramped up by October, November.
So this will be three projects that you were talking earlier, or it will be, maybe earlier, maybe one or two projects that you are talking about?
So I think it's the big projects for on the light vehicle that we're talking about. These are, the components that are going into the pickup trucks, as well as some of the Class 8 trucks, one of the new products that we're launching on the Class 8 truck. In fact, we've just started production on it last month. So we will be, a lot of these products that we're talking about will get into, will be in rapidly ramped up production by November. We've had another, it's not as sizable a project, but we are quite excited. We've got a new order for an electric vehicle component, a relatively smaller size component only, about a 9 kilo component. This will be used in an electric delivery truck, of which I believe FedEx has actually placed quite a large order of trucks for this. So this is also something that we will be productionizing in the current financial year. Again, around that October timeframe. So this is exciting to be in the EV space as well for us.
Okay, sure. And so lastly, so what is the revenue contribution across the category for FY22?
Hold on.
Revenue contribution?
Yeah, so FY22 was, you're talking about by segment, right? So 36.7% came from M&HCV, 32.2% from tractors, exports was 24%, off-highway equipment was 2.4%, railways 4.4%, and others was 0.3%.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Dhiral.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pranay Zaveri from J&J Holdings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you for this opportunity. I have basically two, three questions. One, basically our nameplate capacity is 160,000. What is the maximum capacity that can be utilized?
So I think 75% to 80% is what is the maximum capacity that can be utilized out of the nameplate, because obviously because of efficiencies and all of that, right? It's not possible to run any manufacturing unit at 100% efficiency. So we believe 75% to 80% is a realistic
possible
number right now.
Okay. And I think there is a plan of increasing the capacity of by 50,000 tons as and when required. And what would be the capex for that?
So the capex for that would actually be slightly smaller. I think what we're looking at is the 50,000 ton increase. We could do it perhaps something to the tune of around maybe 50-60 crores. It depends a little bit on steel prices and few other things, how they are in the prevailing market. But we believe something around 50-60 crores would be the investment that we would require at the appropriate time when we need to do this capex.
Sir, but we have a long way to go, as we are currently at about 72,000 tons. So to reach to that 125-130, we have a long way to go, right?
Right, and hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. That's what we are expecting, certainly with a strong market, hopefully this year and next year. We believe that, we can probably get closer to that number in the next, 2 years, two to three years kind of time frame.
Okay. And sir, if you can just throw some light on, basically newer customer addition, as I think our top three customers contributed about 45-50% of our top line. So how do you see that going forward? If you can just throw some light, that would be really helpful. Thank you so much.
So we've actually added a couple of new customers in this last year and a half. Two of them are CNH as well as Carraro. So these are both manufacturers. CNH is, of course, a large global manufacturer of tractors. Their Indian plant is in Greater Noida. And Carraro is a manufacturer of aggregates that they supply to the tractor and off-highway industry, And in India, they're based out of Pune. Of course, both of these companies, CNH and Ferraro, are subsidiaries of their parent companies in Italy. Right? So these are a couple of companies that we've added. Again, these are the products that we've added here are the axle housings, which are the longer axle housings for four-wheel drive tractors as well as off-highway equipment for the monolithic axle housing. These were components that were being imported into so our entry into the customer happened because these were components that were being imported into India from China, and because they didn't believe, and I certainly don't believe that capability to produce those components existed prior to our investment in our Pedaparia plant. So now that we have entered into the customer and we've been approved by the customer, we are now in the process of also developing other components that are their regular components, not just, you know, these specialty components in terms of size and weight. So that's something that is a good opportunity for us that we are looking to grow on the in terms of addition of new customers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Because if you can talk a little bit more about the export business, what are you hearing from the customers there, and what is the kind of growth you expect in the current financial year, that will be helpful.
Sure. Rajesh, good morning. Thanks for your question. So it's largely very positive. I was actually, I had a lot of meetings with them over the last few weeks. And there is an extreme amount of positivity driven by two things. One, I think there's a huge backlog of orders that's there. The second thing that there is, I believe, you know, there is some easing, right? Certainly they don't have as many chips as they would like, but there is an easing in terms of their ability to get more chips to increase their production. So a couple of the products that I will talk about, one is in terms of the, I think one of the products that we're going to have a component on is General Motors, the Colorado platform, the Chevy Colorado platform. On this one, we've actually seen the customer has come back to us and has increased their volume, right? So originally when they sourced this program in 2019, their expectation of volume for this particular project was at 173,000 trucks a year, right? That was their estimate that they had in 2019. They've now revised that upwards to 215,000. So there's certainly, you know, a very good demand that they're expecting. And certainly if you were to go to the dealership today, and I did this a couple of weeks ago, if you go to a Ford dealership and you ask them, you know, I'd like to order this truck, they would give you a waiting time that is that might be up to 12 months, or they might tell you, sorry, I cannot take this booking because there's no production slots available even 12 months from now. So that is really the extent of, you know, the shortage of vehicles in the U.S. And as this chip shortage and other supply chain issues start getting worked out, I believe that their production ramp up will happen in a very accelerated pace. And that... I think is quite a positive thing, and this is what we're hearing from across the industry, is that they believe that, you know, perhaps towards the end of this year, maybe, you know, as things will get really accelerated, and they expect next year to be an even better year. Rajesh, I hope that answers your question. Right? We're hearing extreme amount of positivity. Similarly, on the Ford, you know, Super Duty program as well, you know, we've seen about a 15% increase in their volume projections over the next 5 years. So that's something that seems to be very heartening for us to see.
Right, that's quite helpful. So what kind of growth do you expect in this financial year? You know, given that we grew so nicely to 221 crores, could this number be, let's say, you know, approaching 300 crores this year?
I think, so this year will be a little bit harder to put a precise number on, mainly because, you know, sometimes launch of a program can get postponed by a month or a week, or it may launch even a week ahead, right? So there's some possibilities of any of these things. So putting a precise number on this year will be a little bit more challenging, but I think, as you indicated, perhaps something around 300 crores does seem to be possible. We believe that, you know, we could be at, you know, from our current run rate of a little over, you know, 55 or so odd crores a quarter, we believe we could be closer to, you know, 80, 90 crores or so, you know, to next year, fourth quarter. But for the full year, yeah, perhaps something in that range that you mentioned of something around 300 does seem to be likely.
Okay, wonderful. And my second question was that on the margin side, so you did mention that you may have a short-term bump because of the pass-through. But, you know, what's your sense where you will be in terms of, you know, EBITDA margin or EBITDA per kilo by the end of this year? The revenue growth will definitely be there. And since your capacity will get more utilized, therefore, you will get some efficiency gains. And then the operating leverage also will kick in. So if you want think about all these three levers, then, you know, where do you think the margin can look for this current year?
I think what we're looking at is, you know, trying to get it to a number of around 12. I believe that that's something that, you know, we've been talking about for some time that we believe is achievable when we, you know, achieve a reasonable amount of capacity utilization over and above, you know, where we are. And certainly, I think, you know, there's a variety of things that we always work on the cost side of things, but also in terms of volume ramp-up, right? There's a lot of operating leverage that will kick in as we ramp up the volume. Right? We typically talk about energy consumption, you know, as a variable cost, but the reality is your energy consumption is a lot more efficient when you're running at higher production levels and higher utilization levels because you have, you know, lesser stops and starts of the furnaces and things like that. So that's something that we believe, you know, we should help us drive to that 12 number by the end of the year.
Right. So just asking the same question a different way, what is the capacity utilization which there at which level you think you can get to this 12 rupees per kg EBITDA margin?
So I think if we're running at, let's say, maybe 100,000 tons for the year or something like that, we should be at, you know, a quarterly rate of, that would put us at a quarterly rate of about 25,000 odd tons. I think we'd be able to achieve that.
Understood. Great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Somnath Paul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to join the call. So I just wanted to know, can you just provide some sense on the power cost sales for the gone by quarter as well as for FY22 versus FY21 percentage?
Sure. Just give me a second. I'll just pull up that number and share that with you. So the power cost for the whole year was 102.6 crores, right? That's the whole year power cost that we had done. We have the quarterly one.
For the current one?
Yeah, current quarter, in Q's quarter.
26.91
crores for the quarter gone by.
Sure, thanks for providing that number. I would just like to also ask, so who would be a like-to-like competitors or people in the space whom you compare with, especially for in Indian context?
So in the Indian context, you know, we actually compete with many different people depending on the customer, right? So, you know, when we, let's say, for example, when we supply to Tata Motors, we might be competing with a lot of foundries that are located in that eastern region. Similarly, you know, when we supply to Ashok Leyland, we're competing perhaps with, you know, guys who are located either in Coimbatore or in Kolhapur. So again, a variety of different competitors, but if you want to look at, you know, on the listed space kind of thing, it's very difficult to get a like-to-like comparison because, you know, a couple of others in our field that you might be able to see, one would be Kirloskar Ferrous, but they have a very large pig iron business as well, right? So unless you're able to split those two. And a good chunk of their business comes from engine blocks and cylinder heads, which is actually a component that we do not supply. And our biggest chunk of business comes from ductile iron, which they do not do. So it's not a very equal comparison to do. In terms of ductile iron, perhaps Mahindra CIE might be one of the companies you could look at, but then again, they've got a very large you know, forging piece of the business that's there. But for us, from a competition standpoint, we find a wide range of competitors, again, depending on the customer. And part of the reason for that is because we are a full-service supplier. So we are able to do, you know, components in many cases that are 2-3 kilos and going up to components that are even, 300-400 kilos. So we're able to provide that entire range and produce both, you know, ductile iron as well as gray iron. And typically in most of our competitors are only in a narrower slice of it, and probably more geographically closer to our customers for a variety of reasons.
Thank you for providing a landscape overview of things. So the name you mentioned first, the reason why I was asking you, coincidentally, I also worked on some numbers provided by Kittle Sir Ferris. And I mean, just to get some sense on the power cost as to sales, you gave numbers as 27 approximately crores for the quarter and 102. That works out to be around 8-9% of the power cost of the sales. I mean, somewhere around that figure. And secondly, when I went through their specifically casting business, so they have a realization of about 90-100 rupees per kilo, whereas we have a target of 100, even though I do not, consider their backward orientation where they do a lot part of pig iron and lot of economy. But still, I think 10 times difference is quite a bit, and especially on the power cost as well, when we are considering we are doing 55% of renewable energy sourcing. So would you want to throw some light on what are the gaps or how should I perceive it if I'm not reading it correctly? Thank you.
So I can't speak necessarily for them, but I can just tell you what my understanding is, a little bit of what I understand. So please don't consider this to be perhaps the most accurate information. You might need to do your own research on this. One of the things is they have so as part of their pig iron manufacturing, they have a blast furnace where they do cogeneration and generate some of their own power. The other thing is some of the pig iron that they are creating, they are able to utilize that pig iron as is, as liquid metal. So they don't have, so they have certain, you know, benefits that they are getting out of that. So that's my understanding of them. And of course, as I mentioned, between our mix of ductile iron and their mix of being entirely gray iron, there is a significant difference in the products that we make between us. So it's a little difficult to compare, precisely.
Did I lose you or was there some gap?
We have Mr. Shivakumar dropped from the call. Give us a moment as we reconnect him back again.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
I think I understand. I think there's a lot of points you've shared. So basically, the last question would be: you also mentioned some fact about the pricing, and this year seems to be a good year for MHCV. So from your understanding of the history of business, so when does it come out to be a good year in terms of, you know, all the engines firing in terms of MHCV, tractor, and probably raw material under control, if I would say so. So could you throw some light on when do you think so, or when does a good season come out to be? Thank you. Yeah, so I was just wanting to ask you, given your history of business, so when do you think we are able to fire on all the cylinders in terms of MHCV doing good, tractors also doing pretty good, and raw materials also being under control? Like you said, MHCV looks to be a good year as of now.
I mean, so as of now, you know, the projections we're seeing from tractor are very strong, MHCV is strong, and we've got a lot of new product launches that will be happening this year. So, perhaps towards the second half of the year, right? So hopefully if they remain strong next year, I think next year will be an even better year, right? This year we are very optimistic about, how the trajectory looks so far. Based on the visibility that we have, the trajectory looks excellent. But I think really for us to be standing at the higher level, hopefully that will be next year. And obviously not saying anything negative, I think this will be a good year as well.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We had a pretty interesting few years. It does seem that last year, financial year 22, was a turning point where we see the companies move towards exports that we've been working on for several years, really take a giant leap upwards. And similarly, we started to see the recovery in the M&HCV segment as well. In spite of some weakness in the tractor segment, we were still able to record pretty good growth. We're very excited about the current year. We believe it's going to be a year of, again, extremely strong growth. And this year, we believe that with the growth that we will be getting, we should see a good amount of improvement in margins as well that will happen. So as we are excited for this, you know, growth story to continue, we hope that you will continue to track us and, watch as this the next saga unfolds. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.